Glad everyone got here safely. I heard there was some accident on the road, so I don't know if there's going to be more. There's probably more people trickling in. There's some trickling in now, actually. Welcome to our retreat. We want to use this first introduction just for you guys to get to know my old pastor from Grace Community Church. His name's Austin Duncan. He oversees the Crossroads, which is a young adult college ministry. He also does stuff for TMS. He does pastoral ministry, preaching, and he oversees a demon, correct? And he loves barbecue, so it's just some general things. So at this time, I'd like to just welcome our speaker this weekend, Austin Duncan. Bright lights.
Thank you.
Yeah, so this is just a way for us to get to know you a little bit. For some of us here, we know you because of Crossroads. There's former Grace on Campus people here. Someone's gone to Shepherd's Conference, so we're familiar with your voice and your little sessions at Shepherd's Conference. But some of us here, most of us here, do not know who you are. And so we just want to just get to know you by asking just general questions and also why you chose this theme for this weekend. So just basic questions like, where are you from and how did you come to know the Lord?
Great. Thanks, Ray. It's good to see Ray again, and Ray and I got to work together in our college ministry at church, and then you guys stole him away, so it's good to be reunited. I got to meet Pastor Henry. We've spoken on the phone before, but I got to meet him. I know the Ings, and I know the Yees, and maybe I know more of you, and I got to meet some of the folks this morning and last night. We came in late last night, so we're really grateful to be here. Thanks for having us. My family's in the back. I'll introduce them. Marilee, will you stand up with the kids? Sorry to make everyone hurt your necks here, but we're back row kind of people. So there's my wife, Marilee, and then we have four kids that are here with us. That's Adeline. She's 12. Ella's 10. Owen's 8. And Ollie Joe is 5. So there's them. So that's... Yeah, we're really grateful to be here. The environment's mildly different than the San Fernando Valley where we live. So we've
technology.
Yeah, it's just I don't know what these things are. These tall wooden things. They're amazing. So we've already had a great time just last night getting in and then exploring this morning. So, and I've been a youth pastor for working with students for more than 20 years. So I've been to more camps than I could ever count. And I am an expert in discerning whether camp food is safe or not, and I approve of the camp food. So I had breakfast here this morning. It's great. So, yeah, I'm excited to be here. So I'm supposed to say where I'm from?
Yeah, where you're from.
Okay, sorry. Just general greetings to everyone. We're just really grateful to be here. Thanks for having us, and look forward to meeting you all and spending the weekend with you. I'm from a place called New Mexico, which is neither New nor Mexico, and it's two states over. People think it's maybe Arizona, but it's not. New Mexico is not like Arizona. Where I'm from is the only big city there. It's Albuquerque. And my wife and I both grew up in that city. I was born in a place called South Dakota, which I can tell you almost nothing about. So my family moved around a lot when I was a kid, all over the western United States, and then we settled in Albuquerque. I went to most of my education was in Albuquerque. I went to high school in that town, and then I went to college at the University of New Mexico, which is usually considered the Harvard of the Southwest. So,
Lobos.
Totally joking. That was a joke. So, I was reading an article, I think, in either Money Magazine or one of those, clickbait things that came up on your iPhone, and it was talking about the best university in every state. And New Mexico wasn't even listed.
They're not considered a state.
I don't know if it was a territory or the graduation rate was just so low that they couldn't include it. But
you graduated.
Anyway, I did graduate. Okay. Yeah, I did. Thanks for noticing. So, so I grew up there. I was living in Arizona, actually, as a kid when our neighbors invited our family to church. And I was baptized as a baby Lutheran, but I was against my will, and I have no recollection of it. So, and it was a sprinkling, so I don't really count it as a baptism. But it was in Arizona that we were invited to an evangelical church, and I heard the gospel as a kid from a Sunday school teacher and responded to it and believed. And I was in grade school, So I had grade school level faith. I wasn't George Whitfield or anything, but I was a kid who trusted Jesus and have been following him ever since, imperfectly then and imperfectly now. So that's my testimony. It's, I think, the same as anyone's. They encounter the grace of God and the gospel. They respond to it, and they follow Jesus as a disciple. So nothing radical. I didn't used to sell meth or have a switchblade or anything like that. But I was a sinner, and I'm a recipient of God's grace. So that's how I think about my testimony. I came to California with my wife. We got married in 2004. This week is our anniversary. We're here to celebrate our anniversary with you guys.
Congratulations. Yeah. How long have you guys been?
This is our,
I'm terrible at
this
math.
Is our 14th anniversary. So I was told very early on, actually, at a marriage class at Grace Church when we first moved out to California to go to seminary, there was someone teaching a marriage class. We'd been married like 6 months, so we thought we'd go. It was like a Saturday thing. And the speaker said that you get your training wheels off on marriage at 10 years. So
you just got it off.
Just got them off 4 years ago. So
congrats.
Yeah, I'm writing marriage
books. You're a pro now.
Yeah, writing marriage books like crazy. Yeah. How many of you have been married for more than 20 years? That's wonderful. What a great testimony. So, yeah, marriage is a joy, and we were married. I met Marilee when I was in high school. Okay. Her name is Marilee. Like, if you're in Texas, you can't say anything but Marilee, but that's not her name. We were in Texas a few weeks ago, and people could not say Marilee, just because it's a very Texas-sounding name. She's Marilee, like gently down the stream, Marilee. And you're to be commended for your precision. This might be the first time we've ever gone somewhere and they spelled her name right. So incredible. One R, two L's. She might stay forever. So
you come back next year.
Yeah, no, we're yours. So what was I talking about? So
How did you meet your wife?
I lost
in high
my
school?
Way. So we met in high school. Yeah. We didn't get married until about 9 years after that. And then we moved to California 6 months after that. All our kids were born in seminary and then one after seminary. And we just moved out here going to go to seminary at the Master Seminary. Didn't intend to stay. Took a job at the church when I first moved out, working in the missions department, doing short-term missions stuff. I was a glorified travel agent kind of a person.
Yeah, I know.
Have you never heard of that? Yeah, Ray had that job too. So it's an important role. So, and then they realized, why is someone without any administrative gifts whatsoever doing this job? And they made me work with the junior high students. So I did that for a year, and then I was the high school pastor for a while, and then I've been on staff at Grace as long as we've lived out there. So this is, I guess, my 13th year on staff at Grace, and I've been doing college ministry for the last 7 years now, I think. It's
seven
been.
Or eight, yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
So I think that's basically it. I did seminary. I finally finished.
Yeah,
in 2009, and yeah,
you just did your demon, right?
And I finished my demon, which is not a fallen angel.
We call you Dr. Austin.
Yeah, I'd really rather not. So, especially if anybody gets poison oak, I don't want to help.
So your doctor, save him.
There's people more qualified, actual doctors. So
yeah, how did you get called to ministry?
You know, it was when I was in high school, I think. I don't have a mystical moment. Like some preachers have this kind of thing where they go forward at an altar call when they're 8 years old and decide to be a preacher. I went on a mission trip when I was in high school to Mexico City, and I saw vast poverty and tremendous spiritual need. And at that moment, I just realized I wanted to serve the Lord with my life. And I didn't know what that meant. I wouldn't have said, I want to be a pastor or an expository preacher. I didn't know what any of those things were then. Really, I just knew that there was great spiritual need, and I wanted to do something with my life to serve the Lord. And so I think that's where it kind of started, to move towards ministry. And I'd been really active serving at my church as a high school kid. I led the junior high classes at the church I grew up in. And then just got more and more involved in teaching and serving and a lot of youth ministry stuff, even when I was a student. And then that's just been what I've done for my whole life so far.
keep at it, man. Keep at it.
I'm at least go through the weekend. We'll figure out.
Okay. So when I invited you to this retreat, I was wondering what you wanted to teach on. You said 1 Corinthians 13.
Yeah, so I'll give you a little background on 1 Corinthians 13. We'll read it this afternoon in our first session, but we'll look at it in four sessions is the plan, and I'll give you a more detailed plan this afternoon. But I think I would just say the reason I wanted to do this is maybe my favorite sermon series I've ever preached. I've been preaching since I was 17 years old. I'm 40 now, and those first few years probably shouldn't count, but it wasn't heresy, but it wasn't great either. But I've been preaching for a long time, and I don't know if I've had any series of messages that I've worked through that convicted me so much personally. So I've had series impact my understanding and fill in areas of theology that I needed help on or help me understand how the Bible fits together. But 1 Corinthians 13 was the most convicting section of Scripture I've ever preached on in so many different areas of my life. And I found it to be a helpful place to rescue from kind of the romantic view of it that people have, because it was read at our weddings and people are real familiar with it. It sounds like, you know, grandma's favorite verse kind of a thing. But it is so convicting maritally. It's convicting on a personal level, a spiritual level, your love for the Lord. It works on a level of local church, which is the context it was written in. And I think the other thing is that love is just so misunderstood and maligned in our culture. And you get that. I mean, you're in a city that talks about love all the time and has no idea what it really means. The societal changes that we've seen in the world, people who don't know Jesus and think that they're promoting love and don't know the difference between love and lust. And I think even in the church, not just in the world, in the church, I think people don't understand how important affection is in this day and age. I think we've been told that love is a decision, which there is a decisionistic nature to love. There is a commitment to love, and we see that in the love of God, in Christ. But there's also a necessary affection in love, and you get that in marriage. You're not married to your wife because you're committed to her. You married her with a commitment that was demonstrated in affection, and you can't separate those things. And I think the church sometimes does. You know, it's the whole I love you, but I don't like you thing. Mm-hmm. That's not okay. So the love that's deep and warm and full and real is what's on display in 1 Corinthians 13. And I find it profoundly convicting. So buckle up, because this one hurts. So Ray didn't say, like, this is a loveless bunch. You got to talk about this this topic. He's had the opposite experience. Yeah, and
this church is great. They're super.
No, lovely. You guys are. We love this church. You guys have sent us some of your best people. Matt Ng serves at our church so well and faithfully. Alex Yee, we love Alex Yee. We're looking for a wife for Alex Yee. So are we. We're taking applications. Yeah, no, we need to all work together. Yeah. So
don't tell him this.
We love Alex, and he is like the most eligible bachelor at our church right now. No, I'm serious. So we're working on it. I was talking to the Yees a few minutes ago about a plan, so we are conspiring against him. It's really strong. So, for his good.
It is.
So, love him. So we've benefited. Our seminary's benefited from the young guy you've sent, and then we're happy to give you a treasure like Ray. And I know Pastor Henry's such a devoted and faithful pastor to you. So we really feel connected to you guys and to this church. How many of you were in GOC in some way when you were in college? Are there any GOCers? Yeah, there's a good number of UCLA or USC students. So, yeah, we're just really happy to be here. And so the love thing is about, I think you'll find it helpful in your life, no matter what stage of life you're in, whether you're single or married, whether your kids are little or your kids are grown, to think about the love of God in Christ and to think about the importance of love in our church community and to think about how love is necessary for those of us who are committed deeply to truth it all comes together in this pivotal chapter. So I'm excited to go through the material again with you guys.
Great, great. Can I ask that one question?
Which one?
The one that...
I don't even remember.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So
the Lord has blinded my mind.
So,
what is the one question? Nervous about it now.
So last few years, our church, we've got Chris G to come.
Okay.
We got Dr. Street to come.
Okay.
Got the Silver Fox last year.
Harry Walls, the Silver Fox.
Yeah. And this year we have you. What would it take for us to get John MacArthur to come?
He's actually here. I brought him. So he's coming along. Next June, John MacArthur turns 80 years old. And his faithfulness is just legendary. And we love our pastor so much. And he doesn't travel a ton anymore. But he's a treasure. I think probably come visit before he quits. He's not quitting anytime soon either. I think
I think
of MacArthur in terms of Moses like leadership. Moses had Moses lived to be 120 years old, and he lived in 40 year spans. 40 years in the palace, 40 years in the wilderness, and 40 years leading the people out of Egypt. And so I'm looking forward to the final 40 years of MacArthur's ministry. I mean, just to watch him the last 13 years has been the most instructive discipleship of my life as a husband, as a father, and as a pastor. He's just pure gold. So I'm really grateful for him. But I'll ask him to come next year, and you'll see how little influence I have.
No, it was kind of like a gag joke. A gag question. Unless it can actually happen.
The Bible says you ask not because you have not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or is it the other way around?
Knock, you know, knock you receive. So we're just doing all that. Anyways, that's just a little quick intro of our guest speaker this weekend. I do want to just pray for our meals. And is there any-